You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on radioreverb.com.
Hi, everybody. This is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and DAB Brighton.com online. We have in the studio, well, the virtual studio, we've got Stephen, we've got Josh. Josh is behind the scenes today, and we've got Tony. He's sort of behind the scenes, but he's taking part in some really great interviews this week. And we do have a new lady coming into the HIV Hour team. She's going to be joining us for some heartfelt discussions and her contribution. So first of all, I'm going to say hello to Stephen. How are you, first of all?
I'm great, Sue. I'm great. How are you?
Yes, yes. Busy week, but I like it busy. Keeps me out of mischief.
Exactly.
Yes. Not that I don't like being in mischief, but it keeps me out of it. So that's great.
But that's another story, isn't it, Sue?
It's definitely another story for another show, talking about my mischief. Oh, dear. So let me bring Tanya. Tanya, say hello to the HIVO listeners.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tanya, and I'm pleased to be part of the team, and I feel honored to do that. Thank you so much for having me.
No, and this could be really, because we try and sort of get that continuous diversity on the show, don't we, Steve? And we want, you know, people from all cultures, all backgrounds, on from all, you know, and it just, you know, we say this often, don't we, Stephen? If anyone wants to get involved, come and do perhaps a couple of shows if they're interested in what we do on the show, to get involved. And that you can contact us on the hivo@gmail.com.
Exactly. And it's great to have Tanya on the show. I think it's important, isn't it, Sue, to show that the HIV affects everybody, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not an illness that is specifically a gay
exactly.
illness, you know.
Exactly.
It covers everybody, so it's not fussy.
No, absolutely. And we have a great show, don't we, this week, Stephen? Some of the things we've got on this week, do tell our listeners.
So we have an interview with myself and the lovely Tony, mm-hmm. and we had a little chat, Sue and mm-hmm. Tanya, about the restrictions that are in place in certain countries, and you know, the restrictions, obviously, we both have our own experiences mm-hmm. of restrictions in different countries, because Tony in his previous job and myself mm-hmm. working in New York mm-hmm. Many years ago, when there were those restrictions on people with HIV being allowed mm-hmm. entry to the mm-hmm. country. So we have a chat about that.
Mm. And I'm just going to pull Tanya in at this point, Stephen. Now, Tanya, you're originally from Zimbabwe.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Mm. You know, yeah. But when we talk about travel, do you remember there being any restrictions from your hometown?
The restrictions were like what Steve has just said. There was really, really like very discriminative and stigma, mm. and it's still existing even now, mm-hmm. though we are open. Most of the people are open about their their status, but still there's some people who doesn't know anything. They're still living in their own world. They don't want to hear about it. They just block their ears when it comes to discussing about that, especially when you talk about tasting. They don't like doing that because they feel like everyone is going to disown them, and you know, and it's true, the society does disown you. They separate you, they discriminate you, and sometimes there's some people who humiliate you.
I'm just thinking there, Tanya, perhaps in some future shows we can really talk about, because we like to talk about other countries, don't we, Stephen? Would be really interesting to get perhaps a different view from another side of the world, because I know you've got some stories to tell of your hometown, and that'd be really interesting, Stephen, just to get sort of a look of, you know, HIV in other parts of the world. But interesting. So we've got some really great things happening this week. Now, I haven't done a story, but what I'd like to bring up, and I wasn't sure whether I wanted to bring this sort of story, issue, piece of news, whatever you want to call it, Stephen, but there was something I seen in the news, and like a lot of other people did. It was about, I believe, I didn't know who he was until I found out from someone else who he was. It was basically about an American rapper. Now, quote me if I'm wrong or right, but is his name DaBaby?
It's DaBaby, Sue.
DaBaby.
Sorry, I'm saying it wrong. It's DaBaby. It is DaBaby.
DaBaby. I've never heard of DaBaby or DaBaby or DaBabble or what have you since I read this piece of news. Now, I'm going to put a pre-warning message out to our listeners, but the reason why I just want to read a couple of the headlines is to make... just to be aware that on how myself as a HIV positive person living with HIV, how much I was personally offended. And we're just going to have a little chat about this, because quite rightly said, Stephen, you know, you said that it should be spoken about. It's not a case about avoiding airspace for this individual, and quite rightly so. Do you remember you saying that to me, Stephen?
Yeah, I think it's important. So, you know, because there are people that are saying that it's giving him more of a spotlight, but it's not about that. It's about correcting something that's been a number of things that have been said that are completely wrong, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's our job to stand
up
and go, no.
So these were just a couple of the headlines, and I'm just trying to make a point by literally reading them out. He's been reportedly told the crowd, now this is one of his festivals, the incorrect claim that HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases will kill them in weeks. He said, if you didn't show up today with HIV and AIDS or any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases, they'll make you die in 2 to 3 weeks, and he's asking people to put a cell phone light in the air if it's reported. You know, I mean, he made reference to the gay population. He made reference to ladies' bodily parts, which I found very offensive. You know, ladies, I'm not even going to say that one because I don't want to offend Tanya, but the rapper is reported to saying, what me and my fans do at the live show, it don't concern, and that, and there's a rude word there, on the internet. Now, obviously, like you said, Stephen, there's been an uproar because of the first of all, and we're very hot, you know, we're very... vigilant on making sure that people have the correct information about HIV, regardless whether you're a star or regardless whether you want to claim attention for yourself. But, you know, they don't understand people, ordinary people, it doesn't matter who you are, or living, and sometimes living in silence, living in fear. And for a prominent figure, and I suppose supposedly he is being a prominent figure, especially to young people, mm-hmm. and saying those things. I mean, what do you think, Tanya? When you've got a pop, I'm gonna be old fashioned. I'm gonna call him a pop star. He probably isn't, but I'm talking old school pop star, talking on the stage, trying to make a name for himself, making derogatory comments about the HIV community, and being fairly sexual explicit, may I just say, about, you know, what people do and if being judged if you do a certain thing. What are you feeling, Tanya?
I think this is very offensive. And he might think he was making fun of it, but I don't think it's fun.
No.
It's not funny at all.
It's
very offensive if you say that to somebody who is, I think he lives in his own world, if I can say that. He lives in his own world. He needs to be educated. I feel sorry for him for saying that because, you know, he doesn't know anything.
Mm. Stephen, you're right, Tanya. Stephen, let me bring you in. What do you think? What do you think behind all of this?
Well, there's so many, you know, as Tanya said, there's so many different people that have been, you know, offended by this, you know, so many different communities, mm-hmm. you know, and there's so much misinformation on what mm-hmm. he said. You know, it's not even misinformation, it's just completely wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact to say that, you know, with people with HIV die in 2 to 3 weeks, mm-hmm. You know, we're fighting so hard mm-hmm. to make mm-hmm. people realize that things are different from how they mm-hmm. were. When HIV and AIDS first happened, you know, mm-hmm. and I just think it makes me angry. It makes me angry that people that are in the entertainment industry, obviously that's my background. So it mm-hmm. offends me even more because I'm a gay man and I'm from the entertainment industry. And it mm-hmm. just makes me so angry that he's got up on board and said those things and then put out an apology, you know, that completely insults everybody again. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of, you know, we had the, obviously the Tone Sickens Trust, one of the biggest charities in the UK, they've, you know, got on their high horse and quite rightly so. We got the, basically all the HIV charities really speaking up about this. We've got the Elton John AIDS Foundation. We've got many of the stars that are committed to diversity in the world. You know, you've got my favourite, you've got Madonna, you've got, you know, many, many people. And apparently hasn't he been dropped by some of his... Is it some of the concerts he's predominantly doing, or is it one of the brands he's promoting, or, you know, clothing brands? Is that right?
He's been dropped by one of the brands. He's also been dropped by a couple of festivals that he was due to appear in later this year, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's unfortunate for him, but you have to mm-hmm. be responsible for what you say and what you put out into the world, especially as a performer. You know, you've got to stand behind whatever your music or your mm-hmm. art is saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are young souls, young minds, and the future that he is talking to. And I suppose it puts, I don't know about you, Tanya, you know, when we talk about living healthy, living well, living positively with HIV, we want to make sure that other people hear our positive messages, because, you know, anyone that has any sort of platform, and this radio station is a platform, we've got to be really careful what we say. We've got to be making sure that, you know, we don't know who we're talking to. We don't know who's listening, and we're hoping that many, many people listening and many people to come listening. But we've got to be so mindful of the information. First of all, is our information clear, correct, and non-judgmental? Yes. So whatever, whether it's a small platform, whether it's a big platform that this guy has had, like I said, when we spoke about this off air, I think we've had a conversation, Steve, and I said, I'm not going to even mention this gentleman's name because it's not worth it's not worth the airspace. But what you said was absolutely right. You know,
the other thing is he created fear in the youngsters who are coming up, because we are encouraging them to go and get tasted. So it's creating fear in them, which is not, which is going to stop them from going to get tested, because they will start thinking, if I get positive, then I'll die in 2 weeks, which is wrong. He's misleading the youngsters, the upcoming, which are the ones we are trying to help at this time when we do this campaign. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. Exactly. Well, No. I just, as I say, I'm glad we've had the conversation, and then I hope, you know, the listeners are understanding why we had to speak about it. But let's just see what happens. Not that I'm following them in any place on Twitter, or I'm not that I am, but anyway.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour. So today you've got a bit of a conversation between myself and Tony, who are going to talk about different countries that have restrictions or that had restrictions on people travelling there with HIV. And both you and I, Tony, have experienced this, haven't we? So we can have a little bit of a chat about it.
Yeah, totally. I think we were discussing it when we do our meeting and stuff. And I think we're all quite surprised at how many countries actually stigmatise HIV patients throughout the world. And I think, I don't know what this comes down to, miseducation or I don't know. But so what do we work out? We were looking at New Zealand, weren't we? Because New Zealand have come up with a new restriction on immigration. Is that right?
That's right. So New Zealand have changed the rules of what can and can't happen.
Is it that you can go in for 12 months? Is that correct? So I'm just trying to turn my laptop on. You can go in for 12 months. You can have a work visa up to 12 months. After that, you can't have a work visa for over 12 months. Is that correct?
Yeah, so a duration, work visa applications with a duration longer than 12 months will require an immigration medical. Part of this medical check will unfortunately test for HIV, and a positive result will mean that the visa application is declined.
And am I right in saying that the only reason how you can overshadow that is if you are actually married, or if you've got a partner that is actually a New Zealand a national?
Yeah, so that's right. So exemption to the current policy is if the person living with HIV is in a long-term stable relationship with a New Zealand citizen, which would then mean that there would be a chance of a waiver for, you know, the original ruling.
What do you think about that then, Stephen?
Well, I think back to stigma, you know, because I think that, you know, the more fear that there is about being tested, or the more fear that there is about revealing your HIV status, just underlines that stigma, doesn't it? Yeah. Tony, I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, we, you know, even like 30, 35 years on, or actually it was just gone 40 years, isn't it, since the first person was fat. Is that right? Am I being right? Yeah.
Yeah, the first case of it in Los Angeles.
That's it. So, like, we're 40 years on, and I mean, I've had it 22 years, and well, I've been positive 22 years, and I just feel like we're in 2020, 2021, 22 now? Are we in 22? Yeah.
21.
21. I just feel that, okay, education is around there, but, you know, I feel really sorry for people who are positive that do live under this almost like just like a oppression of the thumb of stigma. It frightens me, because there is so much miseducation out there.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. And it's something that we need to, that in my mind, needs to be changed, because, you know, if you don't know that you have HIV or if you are scared to get a test, then it just means that our aim to getting to being, you know, a world that does not have new infections is never going to happen, you know, because it just underlines the stigma.
Yeah, totally. I mean, personally for me, I was, how I found out I was positive, I was going to work out in the Middle East, and it came up in a, medical, totally, I was not expecting anything like that. And obviously I was then blacklisted out of that country. I've subsequently renewed my passport, and I traveled through that country 2 years ago to go to Thailand. But it frightens me, the amount of fear that these countries have about it. You know, if they only destigmatized it within their own countries, I think then it would be less, I don't know, you know what I mean? Or am I, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, United Arab Emirates are still able to deport you if you're found to be there with HIV. So you can understand it creates this fear, it creates this shame, you know, and you know, we're so lucky, aren't we, Tony, here in the UK, that we can talk about it openly and freely. And
it's hard, isn't it? Because I've got
friends. I just think for people that can't.
Yeah, no, I think it's hard because I've got friends that are in Australia, and I've got a friend that's in Thailand, and it's, they get treatment, but it's almost like, yeah, it's almost shamed. And, you know, it's hard. So tell me about your instance, because I know you did a one-man show in New York. And so how did you go sort of negotiate meds and stuff, Stephen? How did you do that?
Well, it was 2008, Tony, when I first went over to do the groundwork for taking my show over there.
Okay.
And then I went over in 2009 to do the show. Now, it was the beginning of 2009, so it was still in the time of the ban on people entering the country that tested positive. Now, you could do a short-term waiver, but these waivers were complicated, they were difficult. People often found that it meant that once your HIV status was out there, then it was continued to be a problem for travelers. So I traveled very nervously, Tony, to be honest. I took my drugs over in vitamin pill bottles. Okay. You know, just because if I was asked, I would say what they were, but I was just advised that it would be easier to do it that way. So I remember getting off the plane in New York, and I was soaking wet, Tony. I was just sweating, you know, just in fear of being stopped, you know. And you know, I thought the worst possible. I thought I'm going to get thrown in jail. I'm going to, you know, all the worst. But you know, it was a very, very scary experience. And it's so weird, Tony, because I came back from New York. I finished my show in October 2009, and I was at the airport waiting to fly back to London, and was watching the CNN, one of the news channels was on, and it just said there and then that Obama had overturned the ban. You know, and it was just, and I felt really emotional, and I just thought, oh God, this is so amazing, you know. So that was for me it was a very personal thing, you know, having been living in New York, but also being somebody living with HIV.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be cabin crew, and I used to fly. I don't know if I should say this. I used to fly out to the States, and I used to have all my meds on me, and you just can't declare it. I think back then it was almost like you told who you absolutely needed to tell, even maybe not even those. And I know when I found out I was positive, it was like, oh my God, you know? And then I just thought to myself, oh my God, and I was still flying as crew. And it was like, oh my God, I can't fly for this one, that one, this one, that one. And it really shut my world down. But yeah, so yeah. Go on.
Yeah, I suppose for your story, Tony, you know, I said for people whose job depends on it, mm-hmm. it must be even more, you know, there's even more fear surrounding that, you know, ban that you cannot enter a country because of a health condition that you have. Yeah. It just seems crazy, doesn't it?
I mean, the I don't know. It's just as simple as being barred out of a country like I was for Qatar. And it's just simple as renewing uh-huh. the passport. They don't have some a country like that who are really westernized, like Dubai, like the UAE. They're really, really westernized. But part of their, I don't know, psyche, I guess, you know, I find it really backward, and I find it a little bit offensive. I mean, I've been to Dubai loads of times and Qatar now a few times, and I just don't worry. Like you, when you went to the States, I just put it in a vitamin bottle. If anyone asked, I'd be like, yeah, the vitamins, you try one. Do you know what I mean? It's obviously done. But yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's great now, isn't it, though, Tony, that we... It's great that we can go now to so many countries now and totally. Have our HIV meds in their original packaging and just be able to go in.
It's also, you know, when you travel, I found getting, it's not an advert for any insurance, travel insurance, by the way, but when I traveled, I found that my life insurance and my travel insurance just skyrocketed if I could get any. And I went with one company. There was only one company then. That did insurance, and they, after about 3 or 4 years, kept piking the price up, even though you didn't claim or anything. And I used to go away, 3, 4, 5 times a year, and it used to be like horrific. Like, you used to think, oh, I've got to pay my travel insurance, and it's like £300. But now we can get, thankfully, travel insurance that isn't too bad, isn't too expensive.
Yeah, exactly. It's good that things have changed, but there's still a lot of change that needs to happen in a lot of countries, isn't there?
Yeah, totally. Education, and also ease of which their nationals can get HIV care. I know me and Sue have talked about it before with some African states, but, you know, it's quite frightening when you think we're in a bubble here and we kind of get a lot given to us. And it's shocking when you see other countries that don't have that infrastructure. Do you know what I mean?
I was reading, Tony, something on the web about New York and America and why they had that decision, you know, of people not being able to come in without declaring their HIV status.
Okay.
And it was said that it said that there was a widespread fear that HIV could be transmitted by physical or respiratory contact. Wow. And that was the reason for, in, you know, back then in 87, because obviously they knew so little about HIV, but now we know so much. And I always say this, you know.
And there's so much research going in all the time about this. And, you know, there are, I mean, I know we've had contact from one of the colleges in New York with the show, but there's so much, some of these universities do so much research into it, don't they? And it is, it's like groundbreaking now, you know, with the new, is there a jab once a month or something for ARVs and stuff? So, what else? Like, travel-wise, what else would you advise our listeners to do with regards to just travelling safely? What would you suggest?
As we've said, you know, it depends on where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to America now, you know, keep your meds on you. Make it very clear that they are HIV meds and that there's no issue that, you know, they have no right to stop you or search you or do all those things because of your HIV meds. You know, it doesn't you know, you should not be put in a position that you feel uncomfortable in. Mm-hmm. So just keep your meds on you. That's my, just from having traveled a lot, and you probably know this, Tony, just you don't want to be stuck somewhere without HIV meds. So I just keep them in my hand luggage if possible.
Yeah, I normally put a complete set in my unopened, so they're sealed, in my hand luggage and in my normal luggage. Make sure I've taken them that day, and then have to, so in case the luggage gets taken or someone takes my bag, I've always got a second set. But yeah, that's how I do it. Good chat. So
good.
Thank you very much.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Stephen here. So I have a bit of HIV entertainment news for you today, and that news is that the Larry Kramer play The Normal Heart is coming back to London. And when I say it's coming back to London, it's been 35 years since it was first done professionally here in the UK. And back in 1986, it was on at the Royal Court Theatre, and it had Martin Sheen playing the lead role. And it was a short run. It moved to the West End and suddenly folded because people were not going to see it. People were just... It was always said that it was too soon. You know, this play was about the HIV/AIDS crisis in New York between 1981 and 1984. And it was the story of people living and dying with AIDS. And there's so many reviewers of the time then and even now that said it was just too soon. It was too soon to have people be visible and seen, that they could go and see a production was on this subject matter and could be seen to be supporting this kind of thing, you know. So it's amazing that it is coming back to London. As I say, 35 years later, it's going to be on at the National Theatre. It's going to have Ben Daniels in the lead role, and it's on from the 23rd of September until the 6th of November of this year. Now, going back to Martin Sheen playing that role for that short run that he did before it moved into the West End and closed, he was nominated for an Olivier Award for Best Actor for playing that role, just for those short, I think it was 2 months, maximum that he did. So, you know, it obviously made a difference, but it was just too soon. I read this play at college many years after that, and I remember actually I was reading the play as I was flying over to New York to do my one-man show, and I remember just touching down in New York just as I closed the last page of the script, and I was a mess. It was so... You could tell that Larry had written this story with just so much truth and passion, and, you know, he was writing it about his friends. He was writing it about himself, you know. And I remember reading an interview about him, and he said that when he wrote The Normal Heart, he had lost scores upon scores of friends, and he had to write it. Now, the play came back to Broadway in 2011 with a stellar cast and did amazingly well. You know, it was received so differently than it had been originally. And I just hope that, well, I hope and I think it will be, you know, that it will be received here in the same way, because it's an amazingly emotional and amazingly important and an amazingly necessary play that, you know, if you can get the chance to read it or see it, or there's a Netflix drama on the Normal Heart that's available now as well, if you're not here in London. But, you know, see it one way or the other. Try and get to see it at you know, either on TV or on at the theatre, because it is, I think it's going to be an emotional roller coaster that, you know, that is going to be just a memorial for, we lost Larry Kramer last year, which, you know, was terribly sad, but this is just such an amazing memorial and reminder for all those people who didn't have a voice back in those days, you know, because as some viewers will know, you know, it wasn't, you couldn't talk about it, you couldn't be out and open living with HIV or AIDS. So, you know, it's an amazingly important and necessary play for us to have on whenever it's being shown. So, yeah, try and get along to the National. That's the 23rd of September until the 6th of November.
If you've just joined us, it's the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. We've just got a little bit of Brighton community news, and that some really, really interesting things happening, Tanya and Steve. And you've heard of the Martin Fisher Foundation. That's one of the big charities in Brighton. They're installing 5 new vending machines delivering free STI and HIV tests across Brighton and Hove. And this is going to be done by 2021. They've already got a couple, but they've obviously been campaigning to put more in the city of Brighton and Hove. And it's all part of the Brighton and Hove Fast Track City collaboration. Now, these machines will hopefully help towards our commitment of 0 new HIV cases by 2030 and reduce stigma by 2030 by making testing even easier, which I think that is amazing. I mean, I have personally myself done a lot of work for the Martin Fisher Foundation, and, you know, with ending this 2030 transmissions and especially stigma, you know, you don't have to buy a test, you can just go and get one, you know, from the machine.
That's great.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So yeah, Jill and Dean, she's been on the show, and I'd actually, we may perhaps get her on soon and perhaps talk a bit more. She's one of the founders of the Martin Fisher Foundation. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And keeping in Brighton, we got the lovely Sussex Beacon. We've spoken about the Sussex Beacon a lot. It's a hospice. Well, it used to be a hospice. It's like a hospital, but it's a daycare centre, all to do with HIV. You know, Tanya, you've attended some of the women's groups in the past, and they've got some fantastic services at the Sussex Beacon. But like all charities, Stephen, we all need funding. We need to sustain what we do. Well, they have got some great fundraising things coming up. Their next fundraising event is on the 17th of September, and it's a comedy night at the Brighton Grand Hotel. And they've got some really interesting stuff. They've got James Redman from Hollyoaks and Casualty. He's going to be the what they call
the compare.
That's the
compare.
One. Yes.
That's the...
Yeah. Oh. And they've got Mark Simmons and Ivo Graham from Mock of the Week. So there's really prominent figures. Mm-hmm. Again, all raising funds for the Sussex Beacon. And apparently, only £25 and you get a meal and a choice of a drink. So, look, if anyone's interested in supporting another fantastic charity in Brighton, do contact the Sussex Beacon for tickets. I thought I needed to give that a shout about, because they do some amazing work. And I've just found out today, Stephen and Tanya, that we've got the UniAid CO coming to the UK. And she's coming down to Brighton on the 9th of September. Now, I'm going to do my forgivenesses if I don't get her name right, but I'm going to do my best. Her name is Winnie Baiwanya. excuse me if I've got her surname wrong, but Winnie, she is coming down and I'm hopefully going to meet her.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's going to be, you know, she is the CEO from UniAIDS. You know, we talk about UniAIDS all the time and the amazing work that she does and helped to do. So she's coming down. I think we've got the 9th of September and hopefully I'll have the pleasure and opportunity of, as well as all the other charities in Brighton, saying hello and hopefully tell her about some of the amazing work that we're doing. So, yeah, I just thought I'd mention that as well. So, yeah, that's been another great show, everybody, as usual, as normal. And I just want to say another thank you to Tanya for joining the HIV Hour. And I hope you all join us again next week. So anyway, Stephen, Tanya, Josh and Tony, I hope you all have a good week and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.